Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Table Talk. The topic at the table today is the word complacent. What does that word conjure up in your mind when you hear it? Complacent. First of all, let's look at just the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of complacent. Marked by self-satisfaction, complacent. Accompanied by unawareness of deficiency. Complacent, unconcerned. Let's look at the spiritual slant definition of complacent. Complacent, when you look it up, brings up the definition of to thicken, which makes me think of to harden, like a hardened heart. Let's look at a scripture verse that uses complacency in the Bible. Zephaniah 1 verse 12. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Let's keep looking. Here's a commentary on complacent. Complacent, wow, what a word. What an indictment on men and women who are complacent. People who say in their hearts, the Lord won't do anything. He's not going to do anything good. He's not going to do anything bad. They're just sitting back complacent. It means as believers, they're self-satisfied. They're smug. They're unworried or unconcerned, becoming self-righteous. I just want to ask, is there a tendency toward complacency in me or in you? Is it possible for us to go throughout a day or many days complacent, self-righteous, where we don't think we need God? We're not even thinking about Him. We don't have time for Him. We want His goodness. We want His graciousness. But we aren't overwhelmed in our heart to be ignited by our affections for Him. Zephaniah 1:12 warns against complacency. We don't want to be complacent people. We want to be a people who love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. Complacency in this sense is the very opposite of that great commandment. It's to have no feeling for God, no thought about God. Just thoughts about ourselves, thoughts that the world conjures up in us. Or the other side of this, complacency in our hearts is saying, well, the Lord's going to do what the Lord's going to do, and I'll just wait for it to happen and somewhat worry about it and often complain about it. And I don't think about my sin because God's going to just do God. God help us all that we prayerfully do not become complacent. That we aren't self-satisfied in any way, that we aren't unfeeling or smug. We want to live lives that glorify Him. We want to help others because we have an overflow. We don't want to go a day without thinking about Him. I don't want to go a day without the habit of meeting with Him, whether it's in prayer, whether it's meditating on a verse, or whether it's in study. I want to enjoy my God more each day. I want to know my God more each day. That keeps me from becoming complacent when my priority is spending time with Him. So Zephaniah 1:12, that verse leads us to reflect on the Christian life. When we do sin in any way, no matter how small, We have to confess it, which if you did not listen to last week's episode on confession, please go back and listen. Because we have to know our God so well that we are able to be convicted by Him, that we crave His conviction as our holy God, that we repent quickly, that we throw that sin away, and we throw our hands up zealously in gratitude for who He is, that He is our joy, He is our strength, that we have all faith and confidence in Him, that we are nothing without Him. And Lord, we don't want to live complacent lives. We want to be full of love for You, and we don't want any sin to break that bridge between us, that we seek and want to honor You by our holiness. And the only way we become passionately more holy is that we confess our sins. And maybe that sin today for you is the sin of complacency, that we become almost self-satisfying and tend to self-righteousness in the fact that we're doing pretty good. We don't need Him. And then when we do, we're like, God, where are You? Let's talk about something that is not the same as complacency, but the word is lukewarm. Lukewarm. Let's look at Revelation 3, 15, 16. Jesus said, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you be either cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, first of all, John is the author of Revelation, and he, however, credits Jesus Christ as being the divine author and himself just merely being the recipient of the inspired words. We read that in Revelation 1:1 when he says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show us, his servants, the things that must soon take place. Excuse me. Now let's turn back to Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. These verses are a letter to the church in Laodicea, and the lukewarm verses are often misinterpreted. I used to think it literally meant that Jesus is tired of the middle of the road Christians, and that he wants us to either be hot, on fire for him, or he wants us to be cold, like might as well just deny him. But that is not what this means. God wants all sinners to come to him. He wants all sinners to be saved by him. And then he wants all believers to live for him. So Paul is speaking to the people in Laodicea in a word picture that they will understand. Because when Jesus refers to hot and cold water, he's drawing an analogy from the fact that the Laodicea did not have a good water source. The waters of the nearby Lycus River were muddy and undrinkable. So instead, using Roman aqueducts, it received its hot water from a city 5 miles to the north and a city 11 miles to the south. But the water from the northern city was rich in minerals and it offered soothing, healing waters from the hot springs. The water from the southern city was formed from when the snow melted off the mountains, and it provided cold and thirst-quenching water, great for consumption or irrigation. But unfortunately, by the time either water source, hot or cold, arrived at Laodicea, both were lukewarm. So Jesus rebuked Laodicea then and for us today to be either hot, like the warm, soothing waters, or cold, like the thirst-quenching, refreshing waters, but not to be stagnant or unremarkable. Because stagnant, unremarkable Christians are not using or developing the wonderful qualities that Christ has for us. He wants us to use our gifts and our talents to learn more about His attributes, to confess, to become more Christ-like, and be remarkable. He wants us to seek His purpose, find His potential, and walk in it with His confidence. He equips the calls. He does not wait to call the people that have it all together and have everything perfect. He calls us and wants to use us in our weakness, so it's His strength that gets the glory. So whatever you feel compelled, propelled, or called to do, Do not allow Satan's lies to speak over you that you are not enough. It's not about us ever being enough. It's about throwing up our hands in confession to him that God is enough, that without God we are nothing. It's to be remarkable because he is who he is, that he is all majesty and all power and all strength, and that all we are to do is to seek to develop more Christ-like characteristics by reading and studying his word, by praying to him, by asking him, Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me. I want to be remarkable for you only because of you. I don't want to be hardened and thickened. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to just show up to work or show up to church. I want to be involved. I want to be purposed by you. I want to be used by you. Holy Spirit, thank you for convicting us, for affirming us, for encouraging us. We are wretched without you. It's only by seeking you that we can come out of spiritual indifference. It's how you raise up in us faithfulness. It's how you compel us to be fervent followers of you, that we may, in our weakness, show others who is worthy, and it's you and you alone. It's in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So one of the things I did is I literally typed in, what is the difference? And I'm doing it again as I speak because I didn't have it up on my phone. What is the difference between complacency and lukewarm? And this was amazing. All right, sorry for the hang up. I had it on my phone, and then when I went to go to my Merriam-Webster dictionary, it went away. Okay, here's the difference. It says, complacency is a state of self-satisfaction with one's current situation. It leads to a lack of motivation because you are just complacent. You don't feel like you can have anything more or anything less. You're just in the middle. Lukewarmness is a state of spiritual context describing a state of indifference. It means you're not engaged or enthused. You just are. So remember that water analogy, that the water began hot and could heal, or the water began cold and it could quench, but in the time it took to travel, it lost all of its qualities and attributes that were worth anything. So here's where I get from this. When I feel compelled or urged by the Holy Spirit to do something, say something, go somewhere, if I don't do it right then, I'm going to cool off or lose my healing powers like the water suggested. I can't wait. I can't thicken my heart and go, I don't know if that was God or not. I just have to walk in obedience. I don't have to understand his purposing on my life or his call on my life. I just have to do it. What I tell myself and others is there is no misstep if your steps are in obedience. You don't have to know why he's compelling you to do it. Just do it. So complacency is a feeling of being satisfied with how things are and not thinking there's a room for improvement or progress on your part. So it's an internal problem because you're in just a state of stagnation and you're going to miss opportunities that God has for you. Now, lukewarm is being unenthusiastic and indifferent as well because you've lost the zeal and fervor of your faith. Both are a decline in spiritual growth because you're lacking the engagement with God. And your relationship with him is diminishing because it's not increasing. So it's going nowhere. To me, it's the Christian who may attend church regularly, but shows little to no genuine interest in participating with him Monday through Saturday. That's complacency. That's lukewarm. And that is not where God wants any of us. So my prayer for myself is to hold myself highly accountable to carve out a time to meet with Him every day. Every day. And to pray, to thank Him, to confess, to grab on to His power, to pray His word back to Him, to express my need for Him, and to urgently obey whatever He is telling me that day. It is as simple as I kneel down in the mornings and I say, I give you this day. I give you this day. And I say, kill me, the area of sin and flesh that is in the way. Fill me with who you are and what I need from you this day, and send me under those that are going to pour into me that I need to receive from, and send me out to over the people that I can in any way impact for you, whether it's a smile or a word or whatever it is that God is needing me to be on mission for Him with. How is my day honoring His kingdom? How is my day making an impact for the positive? I used to tell my teachers when I was a principal, every day you're making an impact is either a positive one or a negative one. It's the same thing I feel God is saying to me. Paulette, every day you are making an impact for my kingdom. It's either a positive one, it's a negative one, or now we've got a third category. It's an indifference. It is either a complacent, lukewarm nothingness. I may not be helping and I may not be hurting, but I am wasting the minutes that I have breath. So I invite you to prayerfully go to God personally and just say, Heavenly Father, convict me of my complacency, areas where I am lukewarm, and draw me near. That's all we have to ask. All we have to ask is for the fervor, and He will grant it. He will give it to you. You will be compelled. You will be delighted. You will receive the joy if you keep the faith and the commitment of discipline to meet with Him. If you don't have time for Him in your day, make the time. Carve out the time. He's the only person we need to make sure we have time for. He comes first. And then by all means, your family, your friends, your church, your work. But stop and ask, do you have time for Him? If not, I offer you, pray. Pray about complacency or the lukewarmness, that it can be removed from our lives. Thank you for tuning in. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.